This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's Wednesday, the 16th of August, 2017. My name's Patrick Smith. Thank you very much for joining us on this week's show. It's been a very, very busy week for the Giants, and we've done our best to keep you up to date with it. If you follow us on Twitter, SoundCloud, or Facebook, you'll surely have caught up with all the chats we've had in the last week. But if you don't follow us, here's a taste of what you might have missed.
I guess I just try to make an impact every time I'm on the ice, whether if I'm not scoring, I'm going to do something to get on the score sheet. Maybe that's, mix it up a little bit and get involved that way. No, I just, as a smaller player, I tried not to shy away from any of the physical stuff. I never wanted to be a guy that backs down.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a shock to not only me, but to everyone, everyone near and close, but fortunately, I had a really great support system with, family, friends, teammates, most importantly. It was hard at first thinking that I was going to be away and miss that second half of the year, but fortunately, the treatments didn't really take their toll on me that badly.
We have such a strong and passionate fan base. That's one thing that we can address this year, is to improve our home records. We have a good possibility of doing even better than we placed last year. If we can do that, if we place one position better, then we have a chance, obviously, to get a big trophy.
Giants still coming. They want to end it here in regulation.
Into the final 10 seconds, Barf.
Zajac Higgins, can he get out? Yeah! Chris Higgins! Wow, the bounce play makes it 5-4 Giants with 6.1 seconds to go. Have you ever seen anything like that, coach?
That crowd is alive here at the Odyssey, Murph. Chris Higgins has been superb all night long for the Belfast Giants. It's tough. I've been playing hockey all my life, but at the same time, I got married last summer, and it gets harder and harder every summer to pack up and go. And just got to the point where now it's just, I feel like it's the right decision to try to get into the next phase and into the real world.
Brendan Connolly, Spiro Galakis, Brandon Benedict, and Chris Higgins, all part of the Belfast Giants narrative this week. And you can catch those interviews in full on our SoundCloud account, soundcloud.com/AVFTB. And if you join us on Twitter at AVFTB or on Facebook, we'll do our best to keep you up to speed with all the interviews we've got in the course of this season. We'll continue to bring you the post-game interviews as soon as the game's finished. And hopefully you'll join us again once a week as we embark on what is the 13th year, of A View from the Bridge. On this week's show, we'll discuss the people behind the voices you just heard, and we'll add Jim Vandermeer to that list by asking him why he's back in Belfast for another season. With two new teams in the league, we'll look to introduce you to one of them. David Longstaff is a former captain in Guildford and an all-round UK hockey legend. He'll be joining us for a chat. While Simon's been down at training camp to speak to the lads about how they're settling in to pre-season. We've some exciting news involving an up-and-coming player by the name of Morrison, and of course we'll tackle your items on the fan agenda. But let's begin with the new signings, and let's bring in the lads. Mr. McGimsey, how are you?
It's going very well, Paddy. It's funny, over the last couple of months I've really enjoyed the break for one reason or another from the hockey. It had been a long season, it was turgid at times, and we came so close and fell away towards the end of the season, didn't quite get across the line. And, that left a bitter taste in the mouth, and I sort of fed up with hockey for a few months. But as the season starts to draw week by week closer. Starting to get a bit excited, mate.
I'm just like you. I think middle of June or May, I was just like, I really couldn't be bothered with hockey at the minute. You know, all the things going on in life, let's just enjoy the summer. But as we get week in, week closer to the start of the season and the pre-season, the excitement is certainly building. Mr. Kitchen, you've been down to training. How are you today?
I am okay, mate. I've been down the last couple of mornings for an early lunch to see how things are progressing. And it's the guys that have come in are definitely do look as if they're going to be really good additions. But there's still quite a few bodies to hit Northern Ireland. So we're over the next couple of days, there's a few more arriving, and then Sabiano's on Tuesday, so he'll be the last guy in. But then they're still looking around to see if there's anybody else available.
Yeah, well, we'll come to that in a short while. I did say on the last podcast that when we came to this one, we'd start to look around the league. Listen, we got far too much to talk about them. We will be looking at Guildford. I said we will be looking at Guildford in a short while and talking to David Longstaff. But but when it comes to the rest of the league, listen, we've got far too much to talk about in regards to Giants. So let's park. Talk about the league season for maybe the next one or the one after that, and then let's concentrate on what we have at the minute. And what we have are those names that and those voices that we heard just earlier on. And Davey, you know, some of the new guys that are coming in, we've got, you know, Brendan Connolly and Spiro Galakos, also with Brandon Benedict and Jim Vandermeer. From those guys, you know, let's have a quick chat. What do you think?
Obviously, Paddy, you've got Brendan Connolly there. It's coming in, a fantastic interview you've done with him there. Obviously, you know, a bit of Northern Ireland heritage there. His dad from the Newry area, and he looks like he's going to be a decent player. He's obviously came in, a few of the guys have spoke about him already and said, you know, he's going to be a real rink rat to play against, in your face, can score goals. And Gulakos obviously on the back end as well comes in with a lot of size, a lot of heart, and you know, he's a guy that, looking at his fight card over the years, isn't scared to drop the gloves and look after his teammate either, but a bit of offence from the blue line as well. He's not going to be the only player that's looked on for points from the back end of the ice, but those two look like real solid additions to the roster.
Simon, you've seen Connolly in training. I know that Galakos hasn't hit the ice yet. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, he was only on today. Pat, it's his first day. He arrived in the Belfast yesterday. So, you know, you sort of, you've got to give him a couple of days to acclimatise to a certain extent. But he looks the real deal. I mean, he was playing with Colin Shields and Sebastian today. So he definitely does look as if he knows where the net is, and he was going to blue paint. And the thing about it is, we're pre-season. You know, everybody just wants to get fit and get ready to go. You know, they were all, you know, jostling for position and going to the front of the net. Kevin Rain doesn't like you standing anywhere near the blue paint. It doesn't make a difference who you are, whether it's in training or I'm assuming it's going to be in the game too. You go anywhere near that blue paint and he's going to make you pay. So, Connolly for me looks as if he's going to be a real solid addition. You know, he led his team in Denmark last year in points, and he led the league in penalty minutes.
Absolutely.
I'm really, really looking forward to seeing Brendan Connolly lace him up first weekend of September.
When it comes to looking at these stats, Davey, you know, you're the stats man. How much credence can you give them? You know, Connolly does look to be a point scorer, you know, and that maybe that's where we're hoping them fit in. But it's really up to Adam Keefe to try to get these guys to knit together.
You can and you can't. You know, we'll look at them to see what they've done in the past. But it's the old Mike Babcock, you know, what have you done for me lately? You can't really judge anybody until they're in a Belfast Giants shirt or they're in the Elite League scoring points themselves, because players that have came in here with great resumes and points in the past hasn't always transitioned into the points, but I think it's about contribution to the team, if that makes sense. You know, you don't necessarily have to be the top scorer on the team if you're contributing in other areas, but yes, effectively, if you're brought in as the go-to guy to score the goals, you'll be expected to do it. I don't think Connolly is that guy that we're expecting to be the 30 goal scorer, but, you know, they've scored points wherever they've played, so you see no reason why they wouldn't fit into the league and come up with the goods as well.
What about the known quantities? Brandon Benedict and Jim Vandermeer, both guys that are, you know, I think the Giants are getting a bit of grief about bringing in players with, let's say, experience. But these guys with this experience, any team would take them.
I was speaking to Kiefer this morning. And he was saying, because when I walked into the arena on Monday morning, I didn't even recognise Brandon Benedict. He's lost 30 pounds over the summer. He's looking fitter than I've ever seen him looking before. He's he allegedly went to towards the end of last season and basically said he wasn't happy with his output last year. So, you know, we know what we're going to get. But Biff Benny, every single time he steps on the ice, it's his worth ethic is second to none. And in training this week, as I said, when he's seen maybe about 45 minutes per session this week, he's been absolutely flat. And I'm really looking forward to getting Benny back in the way maybe a couple of years ago. And as I say, he felt he didn't contribute enough last year. And when you're coming to your GM or your head coach and basically saying that, and that's, you know, that's music to your ears. You want to go, right, happy days. And he definitely is looking absolutely superb.
David?
Well, Benny, you know, only 2 years ago was the MVP for the Kingdom of Giants Fans Award. And, you know, Simon's already said it. You know what you're going to get with Brandon Benedict. And I think Benny was a bit of a victim of injuries around the roster last year, where he was getting moved about the lines, because at the start of the season he was on fire through September and the early October, and then different injuries meant he was maybe spotting in on the fourth and third lines and he wasn't getting the same amount of ice time, and then just gradually that affected his season, the continuity of season, and he just didn't have as good a season as he had in his own admission there. And Simon said he's gone to coach and he's worked his backside off this summer, dropped a couple of stone or more, and is ready to really come back hard at it. And, you know, that's like getting a new sign and getting someone who's reinvigorated, who's looked at their past couple of seasons and said, you know what, I can be even better. And if Brandon Benedict can be better, we've got a hell of a player, because he's still one of the best glue players in the league. And, you know, I'm glad to hear all these positive things about him.
And what about signing the most experienced NHLer in the league?
I don't only think that Jim Vandermeer is the most experienced defenseman in the league. I genuinely believe in his role, he is the best defenseman in the league. And that's not me being partisan of the Belfast Giants. I don't even know why I feel that I have to clarify or caveat that point. You know, because it's a Belfast Giants podcast. But what I'm saying is, you can give me a list of who you believe, the Hothams and all those guys that you think are the elite, and they are up there. They are the best elite guys in the league, and that's why they get an all-star teams, and that's why their teams win trophies. Jim Vandermeer has been around the block, and he gives us something different at the back end. He gives us experience. He gives us patience, assistant coach as well, you know, all the things that he's doing off the ice and helping bring our club tighter. And just Vandy is... he's just a class. He's a Rolls Royce. You know, we've been very fortunate over the years to have incredible talent on the back end. And even over the last, 4 or 5 years, the Elfies, the Sandys, and those guys have moved on. And you can't lose talent like Calvin Elfring and Robbie Sandrock and not replace it with high quality players. And bringing in someone like Jim Vandermeer and getting him to come back to Belfast for effectively a third season in a row is a feather in the cap of Belfast and the organisation.
I have to agree with that. You've seen him on the ice, Simon. How's he looking?
He's looking really, really well. He came in there at the weekend, and I was talking to him on Saturday night. I bumped into the boys when we were in town on Saturday night. And
really?
I thought there were only three of them there, and I said, come on, I'll buy you a drink. And then all of a sudden, it was about door separated. I guess we're about 80 quid around, for goodness sake. But he's looking really, really ready for it. And I mean, I'm going to disagree with what Davey said a few minutes ago. You know, I know he was, I think, was the second All-Star team Jim Vandermeer was in there.
Yeah, I think so.
And to be honest, I think he can give us more. And I think he was good last year, but I still think he can get more. There's more to come from Jim Vandermeer. So it's, you know, there's no doubt in his ability. There's no doubt in the leadership qualities that he has. You know, and he's a really, really funny guy as well. You know, I was talking to Taff, and Taff says, Simon, you have no idea. He just never stops. He says, you know, he's always cracking jokes. He knows when to basically step it up and go, right, okay, no more joking. Just grab somebody by the throat and pummel the life out of him. That he did with your man from Bremerhaven last year. But, you know, he's not afraid to drop the gloves. We've seen him doing it against big Bram McGrattan last year. And Jim Vandermeer, for me, if he plays his capabilities, he's in the top three of the league. As defenseman this season again.
Let's have a quick look, a quick chat about the team as a whole and the balance that we have. We know we'll hear from Adam Keefe later on when Simon talked to him down at training, and he does mention that they are looking for another to bring in another guy. But Davey, as a whole, this team is nearly there. Now, what I will say is the roster is a lot shorter than what we've seen in other teams. I look at the teams in our own conference, and Nottingham Panthers and the Sheffield Steelers and Cardiff Devils, all their rosters are 20 and more. We don't have that, but what we do have is balance.
Yeah, I think we've got a little bit younger, a couple of younger guys in, which is people have been crying out for a couple of years. Those young, hungry guys that are going to come in straight out of college or earlier in their careers. We've obviously got a bit of veteran leadership, but all these guys, no matter even the younger guys that are coming in, have held, you know, positions within their own teams, captains, alternate captains. They're all leaders, and I think that's something that we always look for in Belfast, to have a team full of leaders and younger guys that are learning that leadership role as well, and that bodes well. And I think that we've probably got a little bit faster again in the game. This all drips down from the NHL, even down to our level, that the game at the very top level is getting smaller and faster. That there is room for these smaller guys in the game, and you know there's power at the back end. At our back end, we've got size. You know, Simon's talked about Ream. We've got Martinelli, Jim van der Meer, Gulakos, all guys that are spicy. And you know, up front, you said Brendan Connolly there is going to muck things up. And you know, this team's going to be built in the mould of an Adam Keefe. You know what you're going to get. This team is going to have to go out and leave its heart and soul on the ice every night, or they'll not be playing. That just strikes me from listening to Kiefer's interview with Simon and just talking to him over the last number of weeks and seeing things that he's tweeting and stuff. You know, we've built good, solid goaltending core again of Dicko and Murph and Wiss, and that's going to be crucial to us going forward. But we are big at the back end this year, solid, and we have speed to burn all over the place.
Simon, how key is that return of the likes of Dicko, Murph and Whistle?
Again, I mean, I think regarding the best 1-2 in the league, my opinion, you know, you don't know who's... Well, put it this way, you're very confident. Whatever goaltender you set into the starting lineup on that night, you know, you're pretty confident that he's going to give you a chance to win. And that's all you can ask from your goaltender. And, you know, obviously you got Ben Bynes and Tom Murray at Cardiff. And, you know, when Murray came in last year, he did a good job for the Cardiff Devils as well. But for a 1-2 in the league, I wouldn't change him with anybody.
And what about the balance?
Well, the balance again, I mean, when we were watching or starting out last season, Derek Walser was saying, you know, they're probably going to play a game apiece each weekend and keep each other fresh. You know, neither goaltender wants that. They all want to play. You know, Dicko, I was watching the practice this morning, and to be honest with you, and Neil White said it'll basically take a mick out of me here, because Dicko was wearing last year's pads that Wiss had, and Wiss had new pads on that looked very like Dicko's from last year.
Oh, here we go. Is the excuse coming in now? We're mistaken identity.
100%. I honestly had to be. It was Nick Whiteside pointed out to me. He said, "No, that's definitely Dicko." I said, "That's not. That's Wiss's pads." And I was wrong. I didn't have my glasses on. You know, Dicko was looking really good in training, and as was Jackson Whistle. So it'll. I think the balance that they have again, the guys. You know, Murph wants to play every game. Jackson Whistle wants to play every game, and Dicko will want to play as many games as he possibly can. So. It's I do think that what Derek Walser had it right last year when both guys were fit and they were getting a game each that weekend, and it doesn't matter who's playing on the Saturday, who's playing on the Sunday. For me, it's about keeping guys fresh, and I thought he did that well until, you know, Wiss basically couldn't play anymore just because he was too sore, and they decided to just let's call it a season and get ready for next year. So hopefully, and he does look as if he's ready to go. So hopefully come start of September, Jackson Whistle and Stephen Murphy with Andrew Dixon will be all firing on all cylinders.
As I say, we are going to hear later in the show from Adam Keefe when he is looking over the roster and the, well, he doesn't like to call it pre-season training or training camp because the lads aren't in yet, but he does mention it now that they are looking to bring in at least one more guy. So we'll see who that is, hopefully in the next week or so. One interview, of course, of all the interviews that we had, the one interview that we saved for this week's show is that of Jim van der Meer. As I said, one of the most experienced NHLers in the Elite League, and he's returning for his second full season in Teal. And, well, we wondered why. Back with us for another season for his, well, I was going to say a second season. He already had a bit of a half season, and then one full season, and now for his second full season is Jim van der Meer, who's joining us on the line now. How are you, mate?
Doing really good.
I don't mean this might sound pretty blunt, and that's the only way I can think of putting it, but we're all delighted that you're back, most certainly. But a guy of your skill set, I think a lot of us expected you to maybe take another step up, maybe go back to Switzerland, maybe go play in a higher standard league. So I guess the question is, why back to the Elite League and why the Belfast Giants?
Well, I think it's more of a family situation would be the biggest thing. And it's not really a situation. I think it just the fit is perfect for our family. My wife's going to school in Belfast. She started naturopathic medicine there last year. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be taking some classes. And our son Rex is starting kindergarten. So I think it's, you know, back to somewhere familiar. Obviously, the schooling is a huge thing. You know, I'm not going to be playing forever, so I got to start looking towards what the next phase of our life are going to be. So, yeah, it's just a great fit there in Belfast.
I guess when you go through a career where, you know, you didn't jump about a lot, especially in the NHL. You stayed, you know, you're in Chicago, you're in Philadelphia, you spent time at maybe Edmonton for a season, but You travel about quite a bit, team to team. I guess having a little bit of familiarity is a big thing.
Yeah, for sure. You know, there's, you know, any guy that plays hockey long enough will tell you that they've moved around. So, you know, it's really good to be in one place, know the people, know the city. You know, it's something that I think all hockey players crave is a little bit more stability.
What are your reflections on last season coming out of the season that we had?
Well, it's kind of mixed emotions. You know, we had a hell of a year. You know, we had a really good year. We were basically second in everything other than the final tournament. We fell a little bit short there, but, you know, we were second in the cup, second in the league. So, very disappointed that we didn't come away with any hardware, but I think you have to be a little bit happy with how we performed as a group. You know, we came together and, you know, so disappointed that we didn't win anything. But I think with the group that we had, you have to be happy with kind of where we finished off.
And that group obviously going through quite a bit of change, not least at a coaching level. Derek Welser's moved on. And, well, you've had a season and a half with Adam Keefe as captain. And now you're going into a season with coach. You yourself as assistant coach, what do you think of that move from the Giants?
I think it's great. You know, I think Derek did a great job, but, you know, coaches are the same as players. They get bounced around and they move around. And, I think Adam's a great choice to replace Derek. So, you know, he was a guy that represented his teammates and the team well within the community. You know, obviously everybody knows how he played. He was, you know, tough as nails and had everybody's back. And, you know, I can't see that changing, you know, with him moving to be a coach. I think he's a great leader, and, you know, we've talked quite a bit this summer about systems and the guys that we're bringing in, and I think it's going to be a great fit for the Giants.
What about your own role? I don't think I'd be wrong saying, you know, as one of the more senior players in the team with the experience that you have, you know, you've got this assistant coaching role, and do you feel a real responsibility given the fact that, you know, you're probably one of the most, if not the most experienced NHLer in the league, that you know, I remember as a bit of an example last season, that game against the Sheffield Steelers, I think it was the first one, where we were more or less doing well in the game and then fell apart in the third. After the game, I saw you and Derek Walser sat outside the locker room having a real post-mortem. Is there a real responsibility there from your part to add to what Kiefer's bringing?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, I've been a leader kind of everywhere I've been. So, you know, that's not really going to change. I think, you know, when that game, for example, you really reflect on kind of what went wrong and you need to learn from those mistakes. You know, when you're up by a couple goals or up by a goal and you have a complete meltdown in the last period, you know, that's something that's got to change. But, you know, as far as me being a player and a leader, that's something, you know, it wouldn't change no matter where I was at. I think you gotta, you know, give it your best every time you're out there and you know, really pay attention to the small details within the game and adjust accordingly.
One of the incidents from last season that really stood out as well is the tilt you had with another ex-NHLer in McGrattan at Nottingham. Now, that all stemmed, I'd like just to get your opinion, is this, that all stemmed from a hit that you put on, which was as clean as a whistle from what we can all see. Do you think that, you know, these sort of hits are drawing a crowd now, not just in the likes of the Elite League, but in the NHL? And is that a good thing? Do you think if you throw a clean hit like that, you still have to answer the bell?
Well, I think that's the way it's been, you know, as long as I've ever played or ever watched hockey. I think anytime you hit a guy real hard, you know, guys are going to try to settle you down or let you know that you can't be hitting guys that hard, whether it's clean or not. I think, you know, yeah, so I don't think that's any different, you know, now than it was. I think with social media and everybody's got a phone and stuff like that, everybody sees more of what's going on. But, you know, I've always played that way. If I've ever hit a guy, you know, hard enough, I'm always, you know, ready to defend myself or step up. Whereas, you know, some guys might, think it's a clean hit and feel that there's no need to do it. But, you know, I'm a little bit old school. So I think, you know, that's pretty standard practice for me.
It's interesting you say about, you know, the modern day game and if everybody's got a phone. Do you think that opinions on the game are more rampant now, maybe more varied?
Yeah, but that comes with, you know, knowledge of the game. I think some people that are, you know, very casual or guys that are people that don't know much about the game, they give their honest opinion, or we think it's their honest opinion of what they see. And, you know, to each their own, I guess. You know, that's not going to, you know, it's not going to bother me what people think, you know, because, you know, depending on how knowledgeable they are, it is what it is.
Coming back to your role in Belfast, Jim, you know, one thing we've noticed over the time you've been here is you're real hands-on with regards to your community work. You know, you've made real friendship there with the likes of Lil Blake and Dylan and the likes. And they, you can see even from your announcement today, you know, they're straight on Twitter. You know, they absolutely adore you as a player and as a person. That community work in playing for Belfast, do you find there's more freedom in a organization like Belfast to be part of that like you are?
Well, I think the way the team is set up, being part of a charity, I think that really helps the players get involved a little bit more. I think, you know, from the time that I was at a level high enough to really make any sort of impact within the community was, you know, Major Junior in Red Deer. And, you know, I grew up in a really small town and my parents, you know, made me and my brothers all aware of how important it is to represent your community well and help out where you can. So, you know, anywhere professionally that I've played, it gives you a little bit more of a voice and bring attention to anything that a player is either sympathetic or really wants to bring attention to. You know, I think it's important that players use that voice to their advantage.
Just to close, I don't want to look too far ahead of, like, obviously this season to come, which starts in just a few weeks. But with regards to yourself, you mentioned it earlier on with regards to your future. You know, your wife is in school. You're taking a few classes. Do you see your future outside the game, or do you like to, you know, develop the coaching role, or are you going to be another Vandermeer at the NHVL Eagles?
I think
half the team. I think they are now.
Yeah, just about. No, I think. You know, obviously time will tell. I think, you know, I think I'm just going to take it day by day for now. Like, obviously try to get a plan in order. But, you know, for right now, my focus is playing hockey for the Giants, doing some school. Obviously, you know, being part of the coaching staff. You know, those things are all really important, and those things take up time. So focus is on the Giants right now and see what kind of phone calls I get down the road and go from there. But, you know, I think it would be pretty cool, you know, to play a handful of games with, you know, three or four or even all five of my brothers. I think that would be pretty cool. But as far as like a long term or a full season or something like that, I'm living out in Vancouver and they're back in Alberta, obviously. So I think that'd be a little bit tougher. But, you know, I'm not going to rule anything out. I'm not going to, you know, close any doors. So I think just time will tell with that.
Well, Jim, it's good to have you back with the Giants. We're looking forward to the season ahead. Thanks for chatting this.
Yeah, no problem.
Thanks to Jim. Right, let's talk about a difficult subject. I know Davey's going to be hurting from this one, so I'll have to handle it very, very gently. If you want to know how difficult it'll be for Davey, just listen to this.
4 minutes and 12 seconds left of the game, and Belfast Giants have made it 3-1. I'm here with David McGimpsey. David, give me your thoughts on that goal.
Belfast, that's it, does it again. Gets one on the press with Kewa. Greg Kowalski, where were you? Pucks behind you, see ya.
Yes, the Belfast Datsuk is no longer a Belfast. In fact, he has hung up the skates. We had the interview, David had the interview earlier this week. As I said, you can get that on soundcloud.com/AVFTB. And I'll go to you, Davey. Unexpected for a guy that maybe had more to give.
Unexpected to an extent because of his age. Only 31 still, you know, and not so many miles on the clock. I know he said he's been playing hockey since he was 2 years old and in full kit since 4 years old. So, like, you know, he's 20-odd years of playing the game. But as a pro and out of hockey since he left BU and, you know, gone into the pro ranks, he hasn't got that many games on the belt. You know, 200, 250 or something, including playoff games. And, you know, he did have a lot more to give. And I'm not convinced that hockey has seen the end of Chris Higgins. Who knows whether it's Belfast, you know, or not, but he's going out there. He's going to try the real world, as these hockey guys call it, whenever they quit the game. And, you know, we wish him nothing but success in that. But I just felt, even talking to him, that, you know, he's just not 100% convinced that this is what he wants to do. That, you know, I still think, he said himself in the interview, he's got hockey, he still thinks he's got a lot of hockey left in him, but he just feels now is the right time to sort of dip his toe in the outside world. And sure, we wish him success, as I say, with that. And you never say never, was also said in the interview, you know, but he leaves us with, you know, a heck of a lot of highlight reel memories and a heck of a lot of good memories from him, apart from maybe that 1 year where he semi-retired and came back in the game, obviously, from...
It's good to see him back in the game after that.
It was good to see him back in the game. You know, you can go through so many. I was going through, I searched Twitter earlier, hashtag Belfast Datsuk, before I was looking for something for Seb from, oh, what do you call the team that won the first Friendship Four?
New Maslow.
I've made a mate over there whose second name I can't remember, but I can't say it. So Seb... Seb was talking about a dangle there that somebody from his team had scored early, and it searched for the Belfast Datsuk, and it went back over like 4 or 5 years. My goodness, some of the highlight reels. So Omar Pasha getting his ankles completely
They never recovered
in.
Those ankles?
never recovered from that, you know. And the amount of times he did it, that goal in Coventry where he actually beat the whole team twice before, you know, slotting a pass, Brian Stewart in nets. And, you know, he leaves us with nothing but good memories. He says, you know, the old hockey cliche, nothing but good things to say about Belfast. Well, I don't really have anything but good things to say about Chris Higgins.
Look, before I come to you, says, look, we did actually ask, you know, what was your highlight with regards to so many highlight reel moments for Chris Higgins? What was yours? And, you know, we had Kiefer McKenna coming back with that goal against Manchester, the one that you've just mentioned in regards to Omar Pasha's ankles. What else have we got? We've got Stevie Belfast Teal with the moonwalk that he did in the goal that was scored. Stevie Thompson talking about that goal in the Challenge Cup against the Storm. And some guy called Kevin Surrett saying that his favourite from Chris Higgins was when he would set me up for easy goals. The thing about Higgy, Simon, is that, and I think I mentioned it, I was talking to Davey and Brooksy about this earlier, I can't think of any Belfast Giants player in the 15-odd years that we've had the team who had as many highlight reel moments as Chris Higgins.
No, I mean, when he was on form, he's one of the best the elite league's ever seen, in my opinion. You know, from a skill side of things, he was absolutely sensational. I mean, I remember calling a couple of those moments, Paddy, and for Giants TV, and you know, I'm sitting, I don't know how far it is away from the ice in the media box, and he's just absolutely unbelievable when he's on form. You know, if Kevin Surrett, you've already said about it, you know, Sauce absolutely loved playing with him, Forney as well, and Blair Riley's, Forney and Higgy last year were brilliant. And, you know, Blair Riley, how many tap-ins did he have with Higgy doing all the dangling and you know, breaking defenseman's ankles since whatever year he came into the elite league or beforehand. So, and then you go back and look at the goal he scored at college, which made, you know, the headlines in North America. And it's just a class act, a real top lad, and And I'm just disappointed. I agree with David. I do think that he's got a bit left in him. But I was laughing at Blair Riley's tweet earlier on.
He's saying, getting at him, isn't he?
Yeah, basically saying, "Ah, sure, we'll give you until October and we'll see you then." So you know what? You're a long time dead, Paddy. It's you know, you basically hang them skates up and you think, "Oh, that's it, mate, it's me done." And you miss the banter in the changing room. You miss the camaraderie. You miss all the togetherness that you have as a unit and a team. And a hockey dressing room is an unbelievable place, especially when you win. And it's guys that you share championships with. And Higgy's done that in Belfast. And he'll certainly go down as one of the best ever to play from a skills point of view in Belfast for me, anyway.
And you mentioned Blair Riley there. While we're actually recording this, I've just noticed we'd stuck up one of the videos from a goal scored by Blair Riley, but an assist from Martinelli and a lovely toe drag by Chris Higgins. And Blair Riley's replied to it, "RIP Belfast Datsuk." You know, those two are having a bit of a ding dong battle on Twitter. Who knows? Maybe trying to drag him back to the SSE arena. Before I do move on, just best of wishes to Chris Higgins. Best of luck in his future career. And, well, if he does want to put the skates back on, I'm sure there's a number 68 teal jersey waiting for him. Let's briefly talk about, well, what was the coaching pairing of last season. First of all, Rob Stewart is back for another season on the bench. Davey, we put it on Twitter. You know, he's as part of as much part of Belfast as a crusty Baff stuff of spicy bakers. You know, the man is Belfast Giants through and through, and the team wouldn't be there right without him.
Bar that little period where he was away from the club over in Sheffield.
Another retirement.
Yeah, after this season. Would have been the first season of the EIHL, second season, something like that. Tony Van did his first season. Yeah, so that first season obviously didn't go according to plan for Belfast. A very difficult time for the club, very difficult time for the league. When you, with no disrespect to some of the players that were playing then, if you look at that roster versus, say, the roster that we're building this season or even last season's roster, you can see the huge leaps that the league has taken year on year. You know, the line has gone up, but it's moved so drastically, even close to four-line hockey at times for some of the teams, like the Panthers and the Steelers, trying to get down that line, maybe the Clan as well. And, you know, the quality has gone up so much, and Stu was unfortunately suffered through that and went away, but then he came back very soon afterwards, came back and scored that great goal on his second debut for the club. You know, and absolutely, I remembered standing at door 21 and it just came back in with the point. He had a laser of a shot. He was an iron man on the ice. Hardly ever missed a game for the club. I think, in fact, through the ISL days with us, he didn't miss a game at all. And then he's come in and he's just a rock on the bench. He's stability for the club. He's just his face that's always there. He's calm. He never gets bent out of shape too much about anything. And, you know, as you say, he's integral to the success of the club. He's you know, 1,000 games or whatever now with the Belfast Giants. You talk about people like Graham Walton and Shed's coming up on the total amount of games played. But when you bring in the likes of Stewie and you bring in the likes of Taff, who have been around for donkey's years now, and the amount of games that they've got under their belts, you know, these guys are absolutely crucial. You know, you've mentioned all those players that have came back, Vandermeer, Benny, and we've talked about the new coach. We're talking now about Stewie. We're talking about retirements. And there's just one that I've mentioned there, Taff, who's unmentioned by so many, but doesn't seek limelight, but is probably the most important guy in Belfast. And, you know, Sez would tell you probably hundreds of stories about the nonsense they get up to, but, you know, those two guys, to have Stewie and Taff just behind the scenes there and doing their things that they do for the club, it's fantastic.
Sez, how important is the presence of both those guys, I guess, on the Belfast Giants bench?
They're the glue. They genuinely are the glue, the whole lot of those things together. And, you know, Taff, I look at Taff as a childminder. You know, he's got 20 adult kids who basically come in there every day, and the only thing they've got to do is dress themselves. You know, he does everything for them, absolutely everything. And then, you know, the big thing about it is you never hear him complain. Never hear him complain. He's in the SSE this morning, probably from about 8 o'clock in the morning. The guys arrive in 9:30. Or, you know, 20 to 10, get ready on the ice at 10 o'clock. Everything's prepared for them. Don't have to stretch out of, you know, out of reach to basically try and grab something that you might all hear that actually that tape was over there. There's tape sitting beside them. We've got everything that within arm's reach of exactly what they need to prepare and be in the best possible mind to get on to a practice and obviously for games as well. Regards Stewie, you know, he's just a legend. He's so funny. He's, you know, he's a real, real top lad. He's been about Belfast now. He's married to a local girl. He's got his young kid coming up who, by the way, you know, he's another name to look out for in a couple of years' time for mentioning possible local Belfast Giant kid as well, Wee Mac. So it's there's so many positives from you know, with the, as off the ice to a certain extent for Rob Stewart and Taff that we should be absolutely blessed to have them in Belfast. And I think it's a really good addition and an important addition that Kiefer and Steve Thornton have kept both those guys in the Belfast Giants locker room.
Here, here. And the other coach, this was our former coach, and Derek Welser has picked up a position as an assistant coach in the OHL with the Peterborough Peats, former team of Stevie Eiserman. What do you think of that, Davey?
I think it's brilliant for Walsh that he's picked up a job. He obviously wanted to stay in coaching, believed that he was maybe going the ECHL route as an assistant coach, but he's obviously picked up the OHL post with Peterborough Peats. And, you know, that's what he really wanted. You know, he wants to take stepping stones forward in his career every year if he can. He must see this as progression and in some way towards getting to the end goal, which I think in his own head he will want to coach at the very highest level that he can possibly attain. And, you know, going down the OHL route will be another good learning curve. You know, he's learned over the last 2 years in the EIHL, but he was trying to do that while playing at the same time. And you could see that his focus was certainly towards the end of his tenure. And when we spoke to him after the playoff, you know, semi-final defeat, that he was dying. He'd taken a batter, and the 2 years had taken its toll on him. And, you know, I think probably in his own head, the time was right for him to step off the ice. And even over the summer there, he have had many, many offers to play the game. But he's decided that, you know, he's going to go behind the bench for now anyway. And we wish him well. He was a brilliant guy to us at A View from the Bridge. He was a great coach for the Belfast Giants. Came so close to two leagues and Challenge Cups and all sorts. And we just couldn't get over the line. But that's not for, you know, the team takes every bit as much of the blame as the coach there. So we've had a good 2 years with Derek Walser, and we wish him all the best.
Simon, great coach and a great position for him.
Yeah, top lad he was. And, you know, I think he'll do very well there. And, you know, he's back where he wants to be, you know, with regards to North America and making the stepping stones up too. You know, I think he wants to get to the show. So it's, you know, he certainly is. There's no lack of motivation there. He's played at the highest level. And it's just a matter of time before we find out if he starts coaching at that level too.
Right, let's make the first of two trips down to training. Simon made his way, as I say, down to the SSE when the guys are all coming in. We'll hear in a minute from Sebastian Sylvester, but first up, Cole Jarrett.
We're delighted to be joined by Cole Jarrett, making his first appearance in training camp today after a baggage mishandle from one of your airlines you flew over on Monday afternoon.
Yeah, that's correct. Flying at a Heathrow, bag didn't show up. I guess it was Monday afternoon, and luckily it came yesterday. Happy to get on the ice today.
How are you feeling after that 90-minute skate?
I feel okay, better than I thought I would. The ice was good, and it was nice to get out with the guys and get a feel for the rink and for the guys. And, yeah, all in all, it was good.
And obviously you played in Asia last year, and I think it lasted the last 2 years. Yeah. Do you know much about the Elite League?
A little bit. I've had friends that have played in this league. You played actually with this club. So they filled me in a little bit. But from what I understand, the quality of the league has gone up over the last 10 years. And it seems to keep going up. So yeah, I'm happy to be part of it and looking forward to the season.
You've, as I say, a couple of days now with your new teammates. You seem to be paired up there so far with you have Jim Vandermeer and Kevin Rain, two quality players.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the guys on the back end and, you know, everybody is, you know, very capable, moves well and, they, you know, move their feet well and seem to move the puck really well. So, like I said, day one, still feeling out process, but all in all, pretty positive.
I've looked through your stats over the last number of years, over your career, and if you're hopefully fit for the rest of the season, you could play your 900th professional game by the end of this year. I don't know if you knew that or not.
I didn't know that. Makes me feel old.
Well, you're certain, the way you're moving about there today, it certainly don't look that old anyway. Your expectations for the season?
It's hard to say. I mean, it's a new league. I was somewhat familiar with it, with the league, but all set. So for me, it's about being a good team player and playing within our system and being a good guy in the locker room. So and then whatever else comes with that is just kind of icing on the top. So focus on being a good person first, and everything should come together on the ice.
Listen, I'll let you go and see you the 90 minutes on the ice, and you take a bit of a break today. Yeah. And good luck for the rest of the season.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
We're delighted to be joined by the Belfast Giants new signing, Sebastian Sylvester. Sebastian, you've been in the country a few days now. How are you settling in?
The apartment is awesome. Every guy in the team took me by their side and showed me around. So it's been unbelievable for the first few days. So I think I'm going to enjoy it.
And yeah, a bit of mishap with your training gear and baggage that didn't come until yesterday. So your first day on ice was today.
Yeah, they had a big storm in Toronto 2 days ago, so my bag didn't make it, but I felt good today. I felt good for the first practice out there with the boys, and it's been good to be back on the ice now.
You're sharing your apartment with another newcomer, Kevin Rain. How are you guys getting along?
Really good, actually. He's a funny guy. We're about the same age. Two blonde guys, so I think we're going to have fun together.
I'm sure you will. Obviously, Belfast, we've got a 2 weeks of training camp leading up to the Manitoba games in the 26th and 27th. How are things are you expecting to develop over the next two weeks?
For now, we're taking day by day. So Connelly just got here today, so we're going to have some new guys. And we're going to build up the team chemistry. And with our new coach too, we're just going to work every single day, one day by one.
Sebastian, thank you very much for your time, and good luck this season.
Thank you very much.
Thanks to Cole and to Sebastian. We'll have more interviews and training later in the show. Two new teams in the Elite League this season, and given that they may be unfamiliar to many of you, we thought why not invite someone on who can give us a taste of who they are, and we start with the Guildford Flames. 6 regular season titles between the BNL and the EPL, 5 Challenge Cups, and 5 playoff titles at the second tier. Now they take that step up into the Elite League, and they aren't here to make up the numbers. To get a flavour of what it's like to be part of the Guildford team, we called up a familiar, if not legendary, name in UK hockey, a former Sheffield Steeler, former Manchester Storm, and a former Newcastle Viper. David Longstaff has won titles at ISL level, he's won titles at Elite League level, and probably more akin to this discussion, he has won 2 league titles, 2 cups, and a playoffs with the Guildford Flames in the EPL. Right now, though, he's the player coach up in his beloved Whitley Bay on the Hillheads Road, and he joins us on the phone now. How are you, Libby?
I'm good. I'm keeping well.
Good man. Good to have you back on the show. Listen, with Guildford, I think you were the captain of the Guildford Flames for 5 years, winning all those titles while you were there. Now Guildford have made this move, obviously with the state of what's happened and the demise of what was the EPL, they've decided to make this move up into the Elite League. Is this the correct decision for that organisation?
I think over time it will be. I certainly think we'll find it hard the first couple of seasons, because they don't really know what they're heading into. I know Paul will have done a lot of research, and he was probably going to watch games last year knowing that they would be heading into the Elite League, or at least trying to get into the Elite League. But I still think it might come as a little bit of a shock when they get the season going.
What sort of organisation is it down there? Obviously, it's a successful one. It's won league titles, it's won cup titles with you and before you. They're certainly not going to be here to make up numbers.
No, I don't think the ownership would let that happen. But it's actually a great setup down there. Great owners, very honest. When I was down there, everything that they offered, I got. Didn't have to want for anything, equipment, anything like that. And they're just the born winners, really. But that was at EPL level, and now they're going to have to make the massive jump up into the Elite League. So, like I say, I think they might struggle a little bit at the beginning, but if I know the owners down then and the whole management group, I don't think we'll be there for long.
As a man experienced through the leagues, how big a jump is it?
it's massive. It's going to be like night and day from the EPL up to the Elite League. It's not even in the same. With all due respect to the EPL, having played in both, the only thing I can say is it's nowhere near, and it's a massive, massive jump.
The team that you played on, Guildford, you know, what I remember about it as well is the fact that it seemed that a lot of those Vipers guys had followed you down to Surrey. You know, I'm thinking of Jeslin Dean, I'm thinking like Potsy was there, you know, Ben Campbell. It must have been like Geordie Land South at that time.
Yeah, it was. It was actually great. Paul Dixon, the coach, he was He played for Durham in the old days. So, to be honest, I think there was five or six players, maybe even more, who had Northern connections. So it was great. The banter was great. Southern lads were actually really nice lads as well. There was no like arrogance about them or stuff like that. It was just a really good setup, good group of people down there.
And what's it like to play at the Spectrum? What sort of crowd do they get? You know, what's the atmosphere like? What can fans here who haven't been to Guildford before, what can they expect when they go there?
When we had the success of the EPL towards the end of my time down there, we used to sell out, I think, for the last three or four years there. I think it's about 1,800 to 2,000 mm-hmm. people. Fans are great. They hardly get on the players' back. We did have some bad nights as well, and they're always there supporting and they get behind the team. And I think that helps a lot as well, especially if they're going to be a new team moving into that league. They're going to have some tough nights. And I think the fan support of the players and the coach and staff, I think that will help a lot.
I think that's a big thing, isn't it? You know as many that if you've got a good crowd on your back or behind you against the team, it can be an extra man on the ice.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's even going to be a little bit of a shock for the fans at the beginning from what they're used to watching, to watching that. So I think they appreciate good hockey, so I think they'll appreciate the thing that's going on down there and the management making a jump up to a lot more competitive and better brand of hockey. I think we'll just run with it. And there's not a negative bone in the body down there, so hopefully they get behind the team.
And with regards to Paul Dixon, what sort of ambitions do you think he might have this season?
Haven't spoken to Paul. I know he's not sceptical, he's a realist. He knows how difficult it's going to be. He knows that he's getting better and better all the time. The players coming in are better and better. I think he's gone for a lot of younger players and trying to get a lot of speed on his roster. And with that, I think you might be hoping that one or two players are a massive surprise and come good for him.
One last question on the Guild before we move on to hockey in the Northeast is that, you know, when you moved back up north, the mantle of captain was passed to a former teammate up in Newcastle in Jez Lundeen. How do you think he's getting on and will get on back in the Elite League?
Well, he's played there before, so yeah. He knows what it's about. I'm not sure whether he'll be the captain again this year. I would imagine they'll bring in a lot of senior players, so I don't know what's happening there. But Jez is a very honest player, very honest lad. He comes to train every day. He's always in the gym. As a coach, he'd be everything you want in a player. So if he was selected as a captain, I know he'd do a great job.
Coming back, as I said, do a quick chat about hockey in the Northeast. You're back up with Whitley Bay and with the Warriors there. What do you think of hockey in the Northeast now? What state's it in?
It's a difficult one. The league we were playing in the 2 years I've been here, especially our team, no one gets paid. The lads give up their time. They're all working. They're buying their own equipment. It's trained Wednesday, Thursday nights from 9 till 10. So for them, they've got a massive passion for it. They give up they give up their time. They travel away at weekends. And this costs them money to play. Like I say, They give the heart and soul every week. Hockey in the Northeast isn't like it used to be, nowhere near. Even with the level of the juniors in Whitley Bay, there's not many juniors compared to how many there used to be. So but the people in charge are trying to get it back going again. It's just whether that can happen.
It's interesting, given the heritage that is hockey in the Northeast with regards to Billiam, the successes of the Durham Wasps, and then, you know, coming back into the likes of the River Kings, the Vipers, and you know, the Jesters and the Findus Cups that were won at BNL. I hasten to add that playoff title in 2006. It still gals me, as you know. But that playoff title in 2006, there's such a support for hockey, and the fact that the Vipers went the way they did, it was a real tragedy. And do you ever see it coming back? Do you ever see that top level of hockey coming back to the Northeast?
I don't know. I'd like to think so. At some point, there's definitely a fan base. Even when if you ever see one of our games, Whitby Bay, like I say, the standard's nowhere near the elite league. In fact, it's miles and miles away. But the fan base will still get anywhere from 8 to 1,000 every game. Some games we're getting 1,500, 1,600 watching. So there's definitely the hunger for it, and I'm sure if that was to happen, a lot of fans might come back that used to follow all them teams.
What's your ambitions for the season? I know the team, you got some extra Viper players, like, you know, Danny Pye was in there for a while. Dean Holland, of course, was a big player with the Vipers. But what's the ambition of the Warriors this season? Another big battle with Blackburn?
To be honest, it's like I said before, we don't pay a penny. And with the EPL folding, a lot of the teams are coming down and spending thousands and thousands. Mm-hmm. So for us, I think a good season for us would be to probably finish about 7th or 8th out of 10. And even though it pains me to say that, I've never gone into a season where I would have settled for that. Just the way that English hockey has gone the last year, it's a little bit of a mess, our league. It was very competitive. Now I think there's going to be games where a lot of them could be double figures. And for us, we've just got to try and stay competitive. Like I said, these lads are giving up their time for free during the week and every weekend, and they've got to try and get some enjoyment out of it. So hopefully we can work hard and we'll get some good results and good bounces. The end of the season, we'll be quite pleased with how we've done.
Interesting you say about the league being a bit, you know, the way the league's gone about it being a bit of a mess. What do you think needs to change? Better leadership, better structure?
Well, I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't really deal with any of the leadership, so I couldn't tell you. But to bring some of the teams in to play against some of the teams at the bottom end of it, like us, it just doesn't really make any sense. I don't understand what's happened. There must have been a better way of doing this than going from a really competitive league, the NIHL. Like I say, it's not the greatest league, nowhere near, mm-hmm. but it was competitive, and the players, there was a lot of competitive games this year. There's going to be a lot of games that are going to be dead and over after the first period. I'm not sure that's what the fans want to see, and like I say, if I knew the answer, I would probably tell someone, but there's people in charge that really need to have a look at this. I'm sure over the next year or two, the league will find out where they should be, but just in the meantime, it's going to be tough for some teams.
One last thing before I let you go is, thanks for chatting to us about Guildford and North East, but the sporting legacy of David Longstaff. Now, I thought it would have been on ice. You know, I thought we would have seen the Longstaffs competing on ice for a long time. But anybody that watched Soccer Saturday on Saturday saw Sean Longstaff score for Blackpool again in the 1-0 win over MK. And Matty's just signed another contract with Newcastle United. So it's down the football route for your boys.
Yeah, definitely. That's part of the reason I came back, actually, from Guildford. Obviously, I've got the two boys and my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter is a netball player, yeah, at county level as well. But she's only young. She's only 12, 13. The boys are great. I get a lot of joy out of watching them. I get a lot more joy out of watching them than I ever did playing. Like you say, Sean's doing really well. He's trying to make his own path in the football league. And Matty's just signed he's in the middle of a two-year deal. He's been on standby for England under 17. So for me, it's great. I get a real buzz out of being around them all and just watching them all play their sport.
Do they get their football skills from you?
I'd love to say yes. But even since they were 4 and 5, and obviously when we used to play at the arena with the Vipers, when the boys used to have the football before the game, I never used to get involved because I was always rubbish. These were doing it at 4 and 5 years old and going in and showing the boys how to do tricks and stuff like that. So even the boys have followed them for years and years, who played with the Vipers as well.
Fantastic. Well, listen, we'll wish them well and keep an eye on their career as it transpires in the football leagues. Hopefully they're as successful in that as their father was at hockey. Mate, listen, we really appreciate your time, and good luck this season with Whitley.
Thank you, Paddy. Good luck to Belfast as well, by the way. Got a couple of friends on there, so I hope you do well.
Hi, this is Kevin Rain, number 22 of the Belfast Giants, and you're listening to A View from the Bridge.
Okay, nice. So over the last few weeks, we might have heard a few press releases about the Mo Train riding again this November and the Colin Shields View from the Bridge testimonial. And of course, that's fan favourite Mark Morrison. But over the last number of days, it's been released that another Mo Train, the Next Generation, is going to ride again over in Canada. So we're delighted to be joined tonight by both of them, Mark the Mo Train Morrison and daughter Caitlin. So welcome along.
Thanks for having us.
Let's start with Caitlin, Mo, before we look towards testimony and stuff. Caitlin, yourself or Mark, whatever way you just want to do it, tell us a bit about this opportunity and how it came about.
Well, Caitlin's pointed at me here, saying I should be speaking right now, so I guess I'll take a lead in this one. It came about at the Scotland Under 15s tournament they have every year down in Sheffield, sorry. Yeah, in Sheffield. We were over there for the conference tournament. And there was a couple of scouts over from OHA. And just after the tournament then, we got an email just from the OHA school just expressing their interest in Caitlin coming over to have a season or two there. So we got the ball rolling, got speaking to them, and offered her a scholarship, so we're fortunate enough that we're able to send her over. Initially, it's a 4-year scholarship, but initially we're only sending her for the first year to see how things go, and then who knows, you know, she could be going there for the next 4 years in a row.
This isn't something that has just, you know, happened for Caitlin. You know, there's been a lot of hard work, a lot of dedication over a lot of years. You know, I know I've seen Granny Mo's, you know, tweets and Facebooks over the last few days, and she's been putting pictures on of Caitlin there over the years, you know, and we remember from your own playing days when her and Justy were just two little tiny things coming on the ice, and it's been, I know you've been heavily involved in their careers, but it hasn't been something that's just happened over the last sort of 6 months.
No, you're right there. She started playing when she was 6 years old, and she was just on and off the ice then, but then I think when she turned maybe 7.5, 8, that's when her real dedication came into play, and she just loves the sport. She'll do anything to play it, and her dedication is second to none.
And obviously the sport in Northern Ireland at the junior level has grown exponentially over the last lot of years, and I've already said, you know, you've been heavily involved in that yourself, but the women's game has also grown really fast, and there's, you know, obviously the Junior Giants girls team now out there, and I remember speaking to Geraldine Heaney, must be 4 or 5 years ago on the podcast, and mentioning Caitlin's name, you know, giving her a shout out, and you know, all those girls that came through at a great pace.
Yeah, but we have probably about the girls team anyway. We'll probably have about 17 girls there, and we were away this year for the first game for the girls over to Swindon for the tournament. You know, we knew it was going to be a tough one, but the grit and dedication of those girls, they just want to play hockey and they're hungry for it. So, you know, you can't beat that. If they're hungry for the game, they'll just give it their all, and they did every game. And their improvements that you can get over in the tournament was unbelievable. So, yeah, definitely it's still a growing sport here for girls as well as the guys as well. But it's good to see more girls getting involved.
One of the things, I'm sure, if the scholarship, you know, if you manage to see out the 4 years, you know, there'd be media training and things, and you know, you have to get used to talking to people. And how excited are you to effectively going, you know, you're going to be almost making a living or going to school doing something that you absolutely love?
Yeah, I actually want to go to school now because I'm doing something I like. I'm scared, but I'm excited at the same time to see what happens.
And have you family or anything over there that you're going to be close eye? Are you going to be billeted with another family? What's the setup there for you going completely into the unknown?
I'm staying in the dorm in the school, so like boarding at the school.
Caitlin, it's not just about what you're doing on the ice in Dundonald. I mean, you're obviously doing an awful lot with Colin Shields and the guys at TPF as well. And how many hours are you putting into that off the ice as well as on the ice?
Well, every week I'll go for an hour, like nearly every day, just to go to Colin's gym and train.
And obviously, I mean, you're being coached by Colin at the same time.
Yeah, basically.
So just to put it into perspective, you know, the last 4 weeks, Caitlin, she's counted up how many hours training she's done, and she can just explain that now.
About 42 hours I've done in the last 3 or 4 weeks of on ice and off ice together.
That's, I mean, that, you can't ask for any more dedication than that. You may as well be full time anyway. But, I mean, Mo, I mean, you just look back at the opportunity. This is an unbelievable opportunity that Caitlin has in front of her now. And I know you've just said you're committed to the first year alone, but I'm sure if you had got that opportunity when you were 14, 15, you'd absolutely bit somebody's arm off.
Of course, absolutely. And we count ourselves very, very lucky. But also think that, you know, obviously she's earned this spot and she fully deserves it. And, you know, there's a lot of people, even just here in the small hockey community we have, we'd love to do what she's doing. And I'm just glad we can give her this opportunity. And she's earned it as well, so she fully deserves it.
Well, when you talk about that, Mark, and about other people, and, you know, it's hard for, you know, Caitlin to take on the responsibility of being the trailblazer or the, you know, the role model, but there's now young girls and probably girls that are slightly older than her as well, looking up to her, looking as to what she does, what she eats, how she trains, how she conducts herself on and off the ice, and how she plays hockey. You know, that must be something that you and Kate as parents are very proud of as well.
Absolutely, you know, as you said, you know, she is a role model, not just for girls younger than her, but there's older girls who play the game as well who do look up to her, and couldn't be more proud. You know, it's just it's a privilege. It's unbelievable with the older girls even looking at Caitlin for support and maybe some guidance about the game, even though she's that young, she could be 4 years older than the oldest girl that plays, and it's just great. They all just get on well together, and once they're together, they're tough to manage, but they all have a great time.
Well, we obviously, out of view from the Bridge and Belfast Giants fans in large, and I'm sure across the UK as well, we'll wish Caitlin all the very best on her adventure, and treat it as that as well, as much as a hockey, you know, exercise. It's going to be a real life experience for you, and we wish you all the best on that, but we can't have Mark Lemaitre and Morrison on the podcast without asking him about the View from the Bridge, Colin Shields' testimony. You must be looking forward to lacing the boots up again.
Absolutely, and I just want to thank Colin for inviting me for the play, and also for his support with Caitlin and PPF, Jim. It's made a big difference for her as well. But for to come back and have a bit of crack with some of the old guys, and maybe play with a couple of the newer ones this year as well, it will be great fun, and it's testimonials are always a great experience.
I was going through some statistics, as I like to do, and fighting majors, Mark Morrison right up there in the top 3 or 4 Belfast Giants that have ever dropped the gloves, and a couple of testimonials. You've obviously had a few tilts. Have you got anybody in your sight lines for November?
I don't. We'll just see how the game pans out and see what happens. You know, heat of the moment and all that.
Says he anything?
No, I mean, listen, I'm looking forward to the Shed's testimonial and everything that's happening. Obviously, the dinner and all happened the night before as well. And it'd be great to see Mo and Graham Walton and obviously Robbie Samrock's coming back over and a few other guys as well. So it'd be really great to see all our legends and especially our local legends. It's been absolutely brilliant watching you guys play.
Thanks, Simon. Really appreciate it. Because obviously, you know, you played for many years and we were really young then, and a lot of us looked up to you as well. So, yeah, thanks for your comments.
Thank God you were looking up to me in that room, mate.
thank goodness I can edit this. For goodness sake, get a room.
Thanks to the Morrisons. What a great story that is. And we look forward to keeping track on how it all goes along. Let's get back down to training with Sis. This time we'll get an update from the coach. We'll hear how Kevin Rain is settling in. But first, Simon catches up with Stephen Murphy.
We're joined by Stephen Murphy, going into his 9th season as a Belfast Giant. Surely you didn't think that was going to be the case when you signed back in 2009?
Yeah, no, definitely not. I didn't think I'd be here this long. Didn't think I'd have a wife from here. My son was born here, so yeah, it's all these things happen as you go along. But yeah, I'm delighted that it is my 9th season, and you know, hopefully I can have some more after that.
Obviously, you know, you've won championships here, and you know, you've been on the ice now for a few days with the guys, and there's still a few more guys to come in. What do you think the hopes for the season are going to be?
I think we're looking good already. Like you said, it's early days. There's still a few guys to come in, but the guys that are here, a great bunch of guys, and we all kind of feel like a little team already, you know. So it's good that we're all bonding already early, and more guys come in, and I'm sure they'll just fit right into the puzzle. I think keeper's done a good job of bringing the right guys in.
Your goaltending trio, Jackson Whistle and your long-time teammate Andrew Dixon as well, must be great to have the 3 years back again. You're obviously going to be battling the whole way through the season.
Yeah, definitely. I think it makes a difference. We have the three of us who can step in any night, sort of thing. So that really helps the team out, and we've seen that last year. Then the team plays well. We do our job back there. Then, you know, we've got a bonus there. We've got the extra bonus of having more guys.
And just touching on some of the new teammates that you've got in, you've got Cole Jarrett, Kevin Ray, and Sebastian Sylvester, and Brendan Connolly's now come in as well. How are the guys looking on the ice today?
They're looking sharp. The guys I seen yesterday, especially the new guys come in, they were looking sharp out there. So they've obviously prepared well in the summer, and then they're ready to go.
Have you been looking around the league at other teams who have bulked up this season? Obviously, Cardiff have sort of, well, it's said that they've improved from what they had last year, and then championships. Sheffield Steelers seem to have brought a lot of guys back, but added a few new pieces to their puzzle, and the Nottingham Panthers as well.
Yeah, I mean, you hear what's going on around the league a little bit, but until it all kicks off, then you see how teams really react and how they come together. They may look strong on paper, and we may look strong on paper as well, but you have to put it together and do the job on the ice.
Murph, thanks very much for your time. Good luck for the season.
Cheers, thanks.
We're joined by Kevin Ryan on Tuesday after the morning skate. Kevin, you've been in the country in Northern Ireland a week now. How are you settling in?
I'm settled in all right now. You know, sleeping patterns are finally back to normal. I got to check out the town a little bit, got groceries in the fridge, and, you know, getting to know the guys and getting out on the ice, ready to go here.
First venture over to Europe after playing your career so far in North America. What sort of hockey are you expecting to play here?
Yeah, I mean, speaking to guys who have played in the league before, kind of compare it to the East Coast Hockey League in North America, and so, I mean, until I see game action, I really don't know what to expect. Just kind of getting used to the bigger ice right now in practices and skates, and you know what, I think I'm just gonna go out there with the attitude I always do, bring my best, and you know, once I've seen some action, I'll be able to assess how it is then. But just you know, gonna take it in stride, and it's gonna be a lot of fun.
You've been on the ice a couple of days now at the SSE Arena. Obviously, lovely fresh glass, and everything's looking a lot newer again this season. Coach Keith, his first season as a coach. What are your expectations for Coach Keith this year?
Well, I mean, he's got a learning curve for himself as well. You know, I mean, we all understand that, and I mean, we're all a family. And you know, I think it's interesting that he's so fresh out of playing. I think that something that's lost is when a coach, you know, has been coaching for a while, kind of forgets what it's like as a player, and so he knows exactly what we're all going through and what it's like, and so he'll be able to gauge practices and workload accordingly. And you know, of course, he's ex-teammates with a lot of guys in this room, and so I do like how it adds an element of you know, more relaxed atmosphere around the rink, more family oriented, rather than you know, maybe an older school coach who is kind of divided from the team. So I'm really interested in how the dynamic's going to play out, and I think it's great.
And obviously, you know, it's always building up to the first couple of exhibition games next weekend against the Manitoba, you know, sorry, University of Manitoba. We're still missing a few guys. They're coming in on a daily basis. How's things settling in so far for the guys that have made the trip over so far?
Well, I mean, so guys have, you know, come over, and some guys are still waiting on their bags. You know, things happen when you're traveling long distance like that. Luggage gets lost and things like that. And so there's guys that are here that have yet to join us on the ice, but you know, I've been here for less than a week, and my roommate Sebastian joined me, and I felt as though I had been here longer than I really have, being able to show him how to set up his SIM card on his phone and show him where all the grocery store is and stuff like that, teach him a little bit about driving on the other side of the road, things like this, right? And so, like I said, I've only been here for a week, yet I'm feeling totally comfortable showing him how to do those things. And, you know, as these guys come in, maybe it'll be him showing these guys. And so it's just, you know, we keep passing the torch along, and next thing you know, we'll all feel as though we're here at home.
Kevin, listen, really appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us, and good luck for the upcoming season.
Thank you.
we're joined by head coach Adam Keith after day three of training camp. Adam, you're, let's say, 3 days now into your training camp. How are you settling in as a head coach?
Well, I wouldn't call it a training camp per se. I think we're still missing some guys, so we're just taking it easy and trying to get everybody slowly back into, to, you know, getting their timing back and their hands and get used to moving the puck and getting in, into spots. And you know, we're looking forward to having a full squad here now at the end of the week. I think Friday will be the closest we'll come to it, and then you know, I think we'll one more in next week, and we're rolling next week. So I think that the start of next week, really, we can really call training camp, and we'll start to get into some tactics and systems and a bit of teaching, whereas this week is just about fitness and getting your timing back and just getting a feel for the ice again.
The transition from player, which was you last year, to coach this year, you're not missing it yet?
It does feel weird not skating with the guys. I mean, I wouldn't say I missed the skating bit of it, but certainly feels a bit odd not taking part in the workouts or the off-ice conditioning. It's definitely feels weird, but at the same time, I got to focus on what the task is at hand. And if I'm not taking part, I can focus a lot more on the drills and getting used to running practices and you know, focusing on the other things, like we have another player to bring in. So there's still a lot of work to be done off the ice as well.
It was announced yesterday that long-time assistant coach at the Giants, Rob Stewart's back as well. His experience is going to be invaluable to you.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, Rob, you know, he's obviously basically a local here, and he knows this organization inside and out, and the city as well. And I'm familiar with him. You know, Rob and I have had a good relationship over the 6 years that I've been here, and definitely it will be a guy that's been around and is very experienced on the ice and off the ice, on the bench. So he's certainly somebody that I'll be leaning on heavily going into the season and looking forward to working with him. I think you know, we've had some great meetings over the course of the summer, and I think we're both on the same page, which is huge, and just looking forward to getting going with him and getting started and getting into the games.
You, as I say, you've already said you're missing a few players. You have Kevin Rain, you've had Cole Jarrett here today, Brendan Connolly, and Sebastian Sylvester. How are those guys settling in?
Yeah, I think, I mean, obviously, it was today's skate was the first skate for Connolly and Jarrett. Rain's been here since the week prior, so and Sebastian, you know, his equipment got lost, so he was he's only skated. This is the second time skating, so I mean, they look good on the ice, and they're just getting their hands underneath them and getting used to the ice. The big ice surface here is obviously a little different than a couple of them would be used to in North America. So, just slowly breaking them into Belfast, and we'll be flying on all cylinders come next week and ready to go for Manitoba.
The rest of this week, you've got a couple more days before Saturday when we have the season ticket holders event at the SSA Arena. And what's your plans for skating on Saturday morning?
Well, actually, it'll be, I think it'll be a little bigger skate than I had planned originally, mainly because we're getting three players in on Friday, so we'll take that ice time that we have on Saturday to actually get a good workout in, and we'll have a little bit of fun for the fans, we will do a little bit of work on that day and use it as a workout, and then we're heading up the North Coast immediately following the fan event for a little bit of team bonding there with Kukri. So definitely I think the guys are all looking forward to that, and just getting started as a whole team.
Adam, listen, really appreciate your time. I know you're very, very busy today. Good luck for the rest of training camp. We'll speak to you again soon.
All right, cheers, Adam.
Thanks to all the lads for taking the time to speak with Simon at training. Right, we asked for your fan agenda questions, so let's tackle one or two. We'll start off with, let me have a look. Let's start with Stevie at Belfast Hill. With most eyes on Sheffield, Cardiff and the other place, should we have an eye on the Storm? They've recruited very well and look a threat. I'm actually going to start with this one. No, I think they're quite weak at the back end. I think, you know, they've got five import D. One of those is Nate Fleming, who didn't play last season. So cut that down to four import D, and then Swindle, Hurst and Balmer. I think in their own rink, they will be formidable, but they're going to be looking to like Sir Rosehill to back check quite a bit, Hammond to back check a bit. And they've brought in some good forwards in Hammond and Becca from Brayhead and poached quite a few. But Storm will have something to say. I think they'll be one of the strongest teams in their own conference with the two new teams and Coventry. But I don't see them pulling up trees with regards to chasing trophies, David.
Paddy. This is where I could review you to the start of the show when I said I was having a summer off hockey. I could not genuinely tell you without Googling who has signed for the Manchester Storm. So I'm not in a good place to answer that. You're a Manchester, you keep a good eye on them. You're obviously, you know, a number one Storm away fan. So I'll just secede to your opinion on it.
Mr. Kitchen, do you have any input?
Not really, no. Well, but again, for me, it's just about the Giants and obviously getting our guys prepared. But the one thing that I'm not looking forward to is there's a couple of names on that list that the Storm have brought in that I need to get a better pronunciation help with. It's the same throughout. I mean, especially bloody Edinburgh. My God, it's going to be. I'm just going to start calling numbers for that on Giants TV.
You may as well. You need to start learning, mate.
No, listen. The Storm. It is what it is. I mean. You've got Finnerty who's coaching there, and I again we'll wait and see what happens. It's down to one of the four teams in our conference that's going to win the league. It's that simple, my opinion.
Chris Chatbang at Woke Erdogan on Twitter, given that D. Walser said in his exit interview that realistically we should manage our expectations, what should those expectations be this season, David?
To compete in every championship for as long as you can. I don't think that you would find any Belfast Giants supporter, player, member of management, any member of the organisation that doesn't think we'll put a roster out in the ice to compete. And I understand where Derek Walser was coming about budgets, and not that we've got any great insight into it, but we know that other teams are perhaps spending more and considerably more than us. There's information out there that shows what teams are offering as recruitment incentives. So, and we've seen what Belfast Giants are offering, you know, on that league
roster. I think roster size shows that as well. As I said earlier on, the Nottingham Panthers are nearly like 25, 30 players. You know, obviously they're going into the CHL, but they're throwing a lot of cash at it.
So, but and one of your bugbears is you have how much money you have, you put a team out and you compete. And I believe that Belfast Giants will be competitive night in, night out. And I think a lot of that's going to stem from the guy who's now number 47 standing behind the bench this season will not accept anything less. And I think if we're in a position, we've got that big road swing and then we've got a huge homestand in the new year. Those two things you have to take as an item to say that, you know, that's going to be crucial to our season. That big road swing could kill us or make us. If we come back in contention in January, you know, and make the Odyssey, the SASA a fortress, you know, good things could happen here. But we just have to be competitive night in, night out. That is the very, very least that the coach and the fans will accept. You can accept defeat in hockey if you think your team has put in 100%. And have been perhaps beaten by a stronger or deeper roster on the night. But I think looking at what we have with still one body to come in, and, you know, I like how rounded we are. I like how balanced we are. I like the speed we've got, and I like the size we've got at the back end. And we've already spoke about our goaltending. So, yeah, I think the least as a fan and as a fan base we can expect is that we compete in every single trophy as deep as we can.
Simon, expectations?
Yeah, to be honest, I think our expectations are that we've got to be challenging for the league, the Challenge Cup and the playoffs. It's that simple. You know, if you don't aim high, you may as well not bother playing. So, you know, we all know what Adam Keefe is like with regards to leadership. You know, he's been one of the best captains and leaders in our history, as well as throughout the Elite League history as well. And I think every other team in the Elite League when he was playing, would have broken their arm to basically have Adam Keefe on their lineup. So hopefully he transfers that over to the coaching side of things, and he could, you know, motivate these guys to gel together, start playing as a unit as quickly as possible, and push on right from the first game. But listen, last season we lost games. Well, we didn't win five. You know, we lost games in Manchester, we lost games in Coventry, we lost games obviously against the top teams as well. But it's all about our home form. If you win your home games, you're putting yourself in a very, very good position, especially towards the end of the season. As Davey's already pointed out, that run of games late November and through December, that could be absolutely crucial for us. All away, all on the road, and then we're home for basically 6 weeks. And if we can put ourselves in a really good position then the sky's the limit.
Last question comes from Rushy McCavanagh. She had a screenshot because it's a little bit of a long one, but it's a good one. With the NIHL making their rulebook public and having included new rules, including rules about PA and social media and trophy presentations, is this something the Elite League should do now considering past controversies? I think the answer is yes, but the likelihood of it is low. What do you think, David?
What transparency would anyone want that's not already there?
Well, if you look at the NIHL rulebook, you look at what's said about public announcers and the conduct of public announcers in games, that's actually, you know, if they step beyond the line, they will be sanctioned, and that's actually in there with regards to the rulebooks. So
yeah, well, I think that's
obviously a kickback to what happened last season in Sheffield.
Yeah, because I see Seth and the usual people having a wee debate about that actually on Twitter there tonight as we're on the air, and I understand where that comes from. The EIHL is a big business. It's 12 clubs now. It's, you know, a highly watched product. They're hopefully going to get a TV deal. You know, multi-million pound product, you know. So they wouldn't necessarily, you know, issue rules to the public regarding what PA announcers and stuff can do, because ultimately those people are performing for a specific business rather than for the Elite League. That would be more for perhaps the guy who's announcing at the end of season playoffs or something. You know, if whoever's on the mic for the Belfast Giants steps across the line, I don't think that is a position for the league to censure. I think that's a position that the Belfast Giants, if that had happened in Belfast, that wouldn't have made 10,000 new sheets. It wouldn't have made the mainstream media, because the guy would have been sacked in Belfast immediately.
Yeah.
But that being said, that could have been handled better by the league, and if making some sort of rules public would help with that, well then certainly I think that the rules on the ice are more important to me, and they're readily available for anyone that wants to read them.
Simon?
I think it's just common sense, Paddy. You know, what happened, again, that's history, but what happened in Sheffield last year regarding some of those comments is bang out of order. But again, you can't expect that with certain organisations. So from ourselves, and I think it's just common sense with regards to, you know, having a social media policy in place as an organization such as the Elite League, and trying to entice partners or sponsors or, you know, association with even big name national companies. They don't want to get involved with, said comments from an announcer in one rink can ruin absolutely everything. So it's a matter of having common sense, a bit of respect, and seeing where it takes us from there on in.
Yeah, I think so. It's, well, we know that basically the Elite League will court controversy because the same people are involved in it, and you know, there's always going to be something. That there'll be the weekly Twitter storm, there'll be the weekly this and that. How that was sanctioned, how that's dealt with, we already have seen that, you know, the issue behind the way bench in Fife, that people are noticing that there still is no plexi. The Elite League had said there had to be plexi this year. We'll see, you know, these things will just come out in the wash, or they'll either be dealt with or they'll be brushed under the carpet. And they'll no doubt generate tweet after tweet after tweet, Facebook post after Facebook post, and some content for us to talk about here on A View from the Bridge. Thanks to everybody for sending in their fan agendas. We'll deal with more the next time we speak. Any other business? I think we'll go to yourself, Simon, a bit of chat about the official supporters club. We got a bit more information in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, it was obviously launched there last week. There was quite a number. The Giants received quite a number of requests from fans, and Obviously we've got a committee now set up as well who, there seems to be a lot of interest in who these people are, but, you know, it's not going to be any secret. I'm on it. Johnny Cook. You've got Leslie, Kathy, Poppy, Andrea, Michael Crawford, Nicola McNair. Susan's not really on the committee because she's obviously an employee of the arena. It's one of those things, Paddy, where it's, you know, we're trying to do it because we feel that maybe the connection with the players has maybe fallen away in the last couple of years, and some fans just want a bit of access to say hello and get autographs and what have you. So it sort of spanned out a lot, and I was asked to get involved, and we had a meeting about a couple of things, and then went to the the Giants to have a chat with them to see if it was something that we could work with, and Steve Thornton and Robert Fitzpatrick thought it was a brilliant idea. So it's the plan would be to obviously support the Giants as fans. You know, yes, we're all volunteers. We help out where we can, whether it's Giants TV or the podcast. But ultimately, you know, you wouldn't do it if you weren't a fan. So the OSC, Official Supporter Club, is now up and running. We announced it at the weekend. We've got over 80 people already signed up. And that's where we're going to have a table at the season ticket holders event on Saturday morning. It'll be at the top of the stairs as the guys go up into the arena to watch the training session. So we're looking at doing a few different events throughout the year. But the way we want to get involved with the Giants is we obviously want to become a sponsor. And that's the way we look at things. So everything we do for the Giants, that we're basically getting something back in return. So if we decide to sponsor a match, it'll be going on the lines of we'll take the West Lounge, as all sponsors would do. Our members will be the only people allowed in that lounge, along with any of the old players will try and get along, that the likes of Mark Morrison, the likes of Graham Walton, Jason Bowen, we'll try and get them along to a couple of games this year to get some photographs and autographs with the fan base that we have as well. So it's one of the things where hopefully we can grow the numbers, and you know, people that have, just a few people commented about, why are we only taking 500 people? We're all volunteers. We've all got full-time jobs. You know, this thing where not being able to take more than 500 people, we didn't say that. We said that we'd like to limit it the first year to 500, but if we get 1,500 or 2,000 people coming along and wanting to join, we'll find a way. We'll get more people involved in the committee, and we'll try and make it happen. So I'm looking forward to the challenge. It's certainly, you know, there's a lot of people, as I say, they're there to Alexandria Cochrane and Poppy and Leslie and co. They've put so much work into it already. Johnny Cook as well. They've put so much effort into it already to get it up and running. And we're going to do our very, very best to make sure that it's a success.
I think it's. I think you should be commended for what it is. I think it's a fantastic initiative. It goes back to what I said many moons ago about like the three elements of the Belfast Giants. You've got the team, the organisation, and the club. You know, the team being the lads on the ice and the competing. The organisation being the infrastructure around that. But the club being that connection between the fans, the organisation, and the team, and being able to have that sort of, you know, back and forth and turn it into what is a club and a community. And I think bringing the Official Supporters Club into that will start to recreate that. Cause I do agree with you. I think that side of it has waned in the last couple of years. And it's something that maybe needs to be reinforced. And, with all the stuff that's coming to the Official Supporters Club, no doubt that's going to happen again. And hopefully wish you all the best with it. And hopefully these guys get the guys taking up the positions in it, and the 500 members at least or more. Come along and join us. You said it's at the launch day. That's on Saturday at, let's say from 11 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, the SSE Arena, where there will be an open training session, and there's food and drinks and the likes. Cookery Sports are there, and there'll be merchandise on sale. Season ticket holders are able to collect their cards and whatnot. That's Saturday, this Saturday, the 19th. At 11 a.m. at the SSE Arena. David, we've one more thing on any other business. That's the Kingdom of the Giants Player of the Year.
Paddy, one of the few awards that has gone through the complete history of the club. It's been awarded every season. Obviously, season before last, Brandon Benedict, as we spoke about earlier in the show. But we've been, as we said a few times, we've been very, very lax over this summer. And the Kingdom of Giants, they've got a committee too. We'll call it a telegram group, will we? rather a committee. And we will draw up a shortlist over the next 24 hours. Should be pretty self-explanatory who's going to be on that short list from last season. You're going to have the likes of Higgy, who we've talked about, Blair Riley, who had a fantastic season. One of the goaltenders probably go in there, if not as a goaltender tandem. And, you know, the guys have probably won the A View from the British Player of the Month. All those guys will probably be in with a good shout of a nomination. And then we'll stick it up for 24, 48 hours for a bit of a Twitter vote. And
we'll see who comes
we'll then
out.
Take that back to the committee, and then we'll decide who's getting it. And we will announce that on the next podcast that we'll have, whether that's next week or the following week, whatever. We'll get that information out and get that award and get it presented, because I think it's important to keep that award going. It's been something that's been going right from the very start of the club. I think, was it Shane Johnson won the very first one?
Yeah, it was a T-shirt. It was a T-shirt brand T-shirt of Shane Johnson. Yeah.
He's still got it.
Has he?
I don't know. I'm only joking.
I'd be surprised. But yeah, I think with regards to the Kingdom of the Giants, there's going to be a lot of work going on over the next 6 months to sort of freshen up the website and sort of it's going to change, because obviously the forum's not being used and the website's tired. We're going to be working on that over the next, 3 to 6 months to try to develop and refresh it back to some former glories. But part of that is to keep going some of the traditions, and one of those traditions is certainly the Player of the Year. So as Davey said, we'll have a chat about it. We'll stick up the poll on our Twitter account at AVFTB. We'll put it on Facebook if you look at that, and you can cast your vote on who you think is last season's Player of the Year. Is that everything, boys?
I think so.
Everything from me, mate.
Well, it's been an absolutely ram show. So all I have to do is thank Jim Vandermeer, Cole Jarrett, Sebastian Silvestre, David Longstaff, the Morrisons, Stephen Murphy, Kevin Rain, Adam Keefe. You two gentlemen, enjoy your enjoy what's left of the summer, because we're going to have to get back to this regular.
The one thing, so just jumping in there, Paddy, before you switch everything off, we are so lucky that we get the buy-in from many games that you just mentioned there.
Yeah, absolutely. It was we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of the Belfast Giants, David Longstaff and the Morrisons.
It's unbelievable. You know, these guys giving up their time to have a chat with a couple of guys who, you know, just like talking about hockey and then putting them in their podcast. It's a tribute to the hard work that you and Davey, especially, and over the years, and Aaron and Coach Russell have put in over the last couple of years and last number of years, and then everybody else before that as well. It's, I love doing it. I absolutely love doing it.
I must admit, I was given a bit of a wry smile when you were talking to Simon there about the USC, and he was saying about, you know, went to Robert, he's always got an open door to fan, you know, an open door fan policy, and spoke to the Thorts, and they said, yes, absolutely, we want this to happen. And, you know, how much those guys have supported a View from the Bridge. And then I read an article during the week that the Nottingham Panthers are suing their own supporters club because they're using the name Nottingham Panthers Supporters Club. I just found it fascinating.
Night and day, isn't it? Night and day, I feel, for the guys at TCW with regards to the stone wall that they meet with regards to the work that they do. But, you know, we do thank the Belfast Giants for the interaction and the access that they give us. It does help add to our product. On that note, gentlemen, well, I guess we might see you next week or the week after.
Here's hoping.
Cheers, cheers.
And wherever you are over your summer, we hope you're enjoying yourself, and we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge.